Now let's pray. Father, we thank and praise you for the blessing of your holy word. Open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Let me read just one verse again from Acts 16 and verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When I was growing up in Northern Ireland, we didn't make very much of St. Patrick's Day. It was thought by some people that Patrick belonged only to one part of the community and he was carefully ignored by the other. And so I was amazed in my 20s when I found a little book called The Life and Writings of the Historical St. Patrick. And in that book of history, I discovered the truth about this man, the amazing story of God's grace in guiding his servant to bring the gospel to Ireland 1,500 years ago. And we haven't got time this morning really to retell the story of Patrick, except for one bit of it, which connects to that Bible reading from Acts 16. Because you remember that Patrick spent years as a kidnapped slave in Ireland. And then he escaped and he was reunited with his family in Britain, who begged him never to leave them again. But Patrick was called by God to return to the land of his captivity and to share his Christian faith here. And here's the way he tells it, because we have the book called Patrick's Confessions, which is his own account of his life. And he says, "I saw in the night a vision of a man whose name was Victoricus, coming as it were from Ireland with countless letters. He gave me one of them and I read the opening words of the letter, which were, 'The voice of the Irish.' And as I read the beginning of the letter, I thought that at that same moment I heard their voice and they cried out as with one mouth, 'We beg you, boy, to come and walk among us once more.'" It's amazing how it parallels what happened to St. Paul in Acts there, where we read how in the night Paul had a vision of a man, not of Ireland, a man of Macedonia, begging him, "Come over here to help us." And I think it'll be helpful to spend a few minutes in this little passage in Acts 16 just to ask, how was it that God guided Paul and Patrick, and how does he guide us in our task today of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us? And you find in Acts 16, first of all, that God guides negatively by preventing us from doing certain things. Because it says that Paul and his companions were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now that meant what we would call modern day Turkey. We're not told how the Holy Spirit kept them from preaching. Maybe there were external circumstances that made it difficult or impossible. Maybe there was an inner conviction in their hearts that this wasn't the right place to go at that time. Perhaps also there were words of prophecy from men like Silas, who had that gift, that were among their company. Whatever it was, they were kept from speaking in that place. And then they tried another place. They tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. It's very intriguing again. You get this sense that these people are being guided and directed by the Spirit. In fact, someone has said that this book could be called not only the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it really tells the story of how he directed the spread of the gospel. And there's something very significant here. It calls him the Spirit of Jesus. And that gives us an important rule to help us when we're wondering, is some particular course of action the right one or not? Is the Spirit guiding me to do this or to do that? And that is that we need to say, is this idea in line with what Jesus taught? A minister that I know told me of a man who came to see him, and he said that he had been told by God to leave his wife and children and to move in with the woman next door. Now, my friend had to tell him, that wasn't God's Holy Spirit speaking. That, it may have been a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit that told you that, because it wasn't in line with what Jesus taught. So that's a good test. The Spirit of Jesus leads us in the paths of Jesus. Well, it must have been extraordinary for Paul and his companions to tramp on for mile after mile, being told, don't go here, don't go there. And sometimes in our lives, there's long periods that are frustrating when it seems that every door is closed to us. And I can remember it myself when, in the past, looking for a curacy position, for example, after time in Bible college, and there was a door that seemed very attractive to me, and it was ajar, and it closed, and we had to hang on for God's good timing to go to the place where I was a curate in England. God sometimes guides us by closing doors, and that can be hard. But then God also guides us in a positive way. And we see that here in verse 9 of Acts 16, where here comes this dream, this vision that Paul has of the man of Macedonia begging him, saying, come over to the other side, cross over the sea from Asia to Europe, cross over from one place to another, one culture to another, and bring the good news. And for the message of Jesus to go anywhere, there always has to be that pioneering moment when someone crosses from one culture to another, when someone's willing to go from the familiar to the foreign. For Paul, it meant the new phase of ministry in Europe with new challenges. For Patrick, it meant going back to the place where he had been a slave and he thought he'd got away from and escaped. For the early missionaries to Africa and Asia, it meant hardship, learning new languages and customs, being in danger of disease and sometimes early death. And all of those people went in response to the need that they saw and the call of the Lord. One of the greatest 19th century missionaries to China was Hudson Taylor. And he spoke about how it was almost as though he could feel and hear the cries of the people in China, living and dying without hope. And he went. He responded to that Macedonian call that he received. I want to ask us this morning, where is our Macedonia? Who are the people that we're called to go to with the love of Christ? Perhaps it's people within our own family that we have become distant from. Perhaps it's those in our community who are burdened by addiction or anxiety or loneliness. Perhaps it's people of other faiths in our own country. There are in Ireland, for example, 63,000 Muslim people. How can we reach out to them in the light of what's happened in New Zealand? How can we show those people that as Christians, we don't mean them any harm and we have good news about Jesus, who they revere as a prophet, but we would love them to know him as a savior? What would it take for us to reach out in mission across traditional divides? Do we believe that we have good news for people of every background, of all faiths, those who've lost their faith and those who never had one? We have good news for everybody. Jesus said in the gospel reading here in John 4, look, open your eyes, the fields are ripe for harvest. And that's still the case today. We might think, oh, the church is in decline and, you know, it's all the end of the road for Christianity in the West. But there are still needs there. And there are still people open to hear if only we could get to them with good news. Where is the Macedonia that we're being called to? And God does call ordinary people. It's not just the likes of St. Paul and St. Patrick. He can call you and me. And if we're open to God's guidance, he will lead us where we need to go. Last week, we had a wonderful time, and some of you were able to be there, with the choir from Uganda, the New Life choir of kids who came over from Africa to sing, and they're traveling all around Britain and Ireland. And indeed, that organization, Abana, that they're with, is looking for people to go to Uganda to serve there short-term or long-term to help with the work they do with street children and other young people in need. Maybe it could be you that will receive that Macedonian call to go somewhere like that. God calls, and then the final thing we see in this passage as I bring it to a close is that, of course, what Paul and Patrick both did is they obeyed the call. It says in Acts 16, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Paul could have responded to that dream that he had in different ways. He could have just set it aside. He could have just said to himself, that was a strange dream. Maybe I ate too much cheese last night. You know, could have just left it to one side. He could have said, well, I'm not too sure. I'll just leave it for now and, you know, I'll see if it happens again. But what he actually did was he got together with the others. They discussed it. They decided on it. And they did it. It's easy to do the first one, isn't it? Discussion. We love that. But then deciding and doing. And I struggle with this. I am a great man for putting things on the long finger and saying, that'll be a nice idea to do that sometime, maybe next year. And I'm very grateful for those who have the courage to say, let's do it now. That's how our mustard seed project got going. An idea, a dream, which was turned into reality by decisive people who followed that call. So here's what the great missionaries, Patrick, Paul, and the others did. They found God speaking, and they answered. If you this morning feel that perhaps God is calling to you to do some new thing, to cross some boundary or border, maybe in a very small way, may just be going back to some neighbor to show friendship to them, or maybe going to the other side of the world, who knows? But pay attention to that. And if it's in line with what Jesus says, then follow it. The gospel transformed Europe in Paul's time. It transformed Ireland in Patrick's time. So what could happen in our time if we would have the courage to follow where he calls and not be afraid to cross over boundaries? Amen.